just a little while longer. Amen.
Y'all have
Y'all are preaching the message right now. My disciples by the love that you have one for another. Amen? Wow. This has been a very trying couple of weeks. In the household of faith and in our community right around us. And in search of what to say, God led me to a familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I just want to talk for a moment from the thought, living above the norm.
All right. Come on, Reverend.
Living above the norm. I could have said living above what is expected of us.
All right.
Because as believers, there are certain things that are expected of us. And this is Black History Month. If you don't mind, I'd like to do something that the old minister used to do. Guide me, oh thy great Jehovah, Yeah. We must be able to motivate people to get involved, to touch the world with love. Our classic approach is to appeal to their guilt. How can you possibly stand there and do nothing? The world is falling to pieces all around us for famine, racism, and if you don't do anything about it, you're complicit in your actions. You are guilty as those who perpetuate the pain. Because of your inaction allows pain to continue to grow. Edward Burke was right when he said, all that is necessary for to triumph over evil is that good men do nothing. Amen? I'm going to say that again. All it takes for evil to triumph over good is for good men to do nothing. And we've all had a guilt trip going on us before. You know, some of the people that's greatest that's throwing guilt trip on us is our spouses. Followed by our children. Amen. Amen. Our children know how to put us on a guilt trip. And any parent here has not been put on a guilt trip by your child? Keep on living. You will be. Amen. And I tell you this too. Parents know how to put their children on guilt trip. Especially as they get older in age. As they get senior in age, they will, you don't love me no more. You spend your time everywhere but with me. Amen. The senior's looking at me and said, Pastor, you're meddling now. You need to move on. Amen. Rolling the eyes. Keep rolling the eyes, Mr. Johnson. But you know, guilt is a wonderful emotion. We all feel guilty from time to time. Like all emotions, guilt has evolved in the human psyche for a very good reason. There is none, there's nothing wrong with guilt. Sometimes we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of our values. We ought to be ashamed because shame will be, guilt will bring us to an emotional and moral compass that will guide us to atonement and heal the breach between us and God. Now, I'm going to say that again. Guilt will bring us to atonement where we can heal the breach between us and God. We know what we ought to do, but we're not doing it. So guilt will say, you need to get it right with God. It has to be right because he said, if my people, he was not talking about the world. And when you talk about people that say they know that they know the Lord. If my people, we are God's people, right? Guilt, properly felt is about things that we have done that we ought not have done. Or things that we have failed to do that we ought to have done. Amen? It's about our actions as well as our behavior. A lot of times we feel guilty about stuff that we shouldn't feel guilty about. We feel guilty about earthquakes that we have no control over. We feel guilt about various plights in every community. Unless you have the resources to help resolve that plight, we should not have to feel guilty about it. But out the other side of guilt is compassionate love. You may have never molested a child, but there's no reason for you to feel guilty over child abuse. Yet you know that child abuse happens in every community in the United States, including our city. In fact, if you look at the list of the violent crimes in the TNT, the two that seems to appear the most often are children abuse and domestic violence. Every church in America has had victims of both of these crimes among their members and friends. Guilt is not to motivate us to do anything about this. It is if we're not guilty, but what would compassionate love do? And would it motivate us to do something? Doesn't it cause us to work for the healing of the terrible suffering of abuse that bring in the world? Doesn't it call us to work and knit together the fabrics that have been shredded? If you ask Jesus that, it may come out of the question, am I my brother's keeper? And Jesus would say yes. We have to move beyond the norm. Well, we can't say, oh, isn't that a shame before God, if we're not willing to stand up and alleviate the cause of the suffering and pain. The word reconciliation means from the Latin to rejoin.
Yes, sir.
And the word religion comes from the Latin meaning to bind together. And there is no accident in language, but there is great wisdom. Compassion and love calls us to bind back together, to rejoin that which has been shattered and driven apart, to heal that which has been estranged and alienated by human action, whether the problem was caused by the environment, or human greed, or short-sightedness, exploitation, or the culture torn apart by racism and arrogance, or our relationship destroyed by someone's inability to understand the enormity of the pain. If compassionate love say you need to get up and do something. When you see somebody hungry, don't bring them to the path to feed them. Hallelujah.
Well,
I threw that in for free. Amen. Amen. Compassionate love calls us to touch the world with tenderness, that the hungry may be satisfied, and the naked may be clothed, and the homeless may find shelter, that the ill may be healed, and that those whose spirit has been broken discover the worth and dignity in their life. We need to make sure that those we come in contact leave lifted up in spirit. Sometimes we spend too much time lifting up one another and not lifting up those that are really hurting. I'm not saying we should not lift up one another, but I'm saying don't spend so much time lifting up Reverend Willoughby that you miss that brother that came in that was broken, hurting, and in need.
Yes, sir.
Compassionate love calls us to the religious work of reconciliation. There's no excuse. It doesn't matter how little we can accomplish as individuals. Just as long as we get started. Mm-hmm. If no one starts to bring justice into the world, justice will never enter the world. If no one acts to heal the shredded web, then the web will continue to get worse. So it doesn't matter whether you start with child abuse, environmental issues, racism, whatever social justice cause your spirit takes you to. But what matters is that we need to get started. African American Legislative Day, this Friday, is a meeting to get started for us to deal with the issues that confront us. I said this morning in the prayer room, it looked like there's open season on Americans, both black, white, Hispanic. We're shooting them in the street. And we are saying, accepting it, because they're saying, well, we were within our guidelines. Then if you're killing people unnecessarily, you need to change your guidelines. Amen. We don't have to go to Mississippi or Alabama anymore. All we have to do is drive out the audience. And you'll see people who are being abused. A police officer out there who happened to be a police officer of color. His car was trashed and torn up. The police chief and even the people in the city said, we know he raised it. We've been trying to get rid of it. But there are disparities simply because of the color of their skin. We need to move out of the norm. Amen. On the 25th of this month down on NOAC Spiritual Center, there will be a rally for workers that work in our healthcare system, that they will get fair and just treatment, because if they are not happy when they come into the hospital to work, you're not going to be happy when you go in there for service. We can't sit back and not do something. Somebody told Pastor, you're involved in too much. I said, long as somebody's suffering. Because see, I can stand up here and preach on tithing all I want. If you don't have a job, you're not going to be able to tithe. I can stand up here and preach on how good God is and that we have a home in heaven. But if you're sleeping under the bridge, you're not going to want to hear about heaven. You want to know what I can do right here. We got to move out of the ordinary into areas to help those that are hurting and disenfranchised. Oh, thank you, Lord. We may not solve the problems of the world, but we can try to help provide equal justice here where we live. We may not be able to call a great movement, but we can show love to our neighbors. We may not be able to obliterate homeless in our city, but we can demonstrate courage that people need to help them re-enter society. Oh, we thank God for it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the opportunity to serve. I'm not trying to make a name for myself or anyone else, but I'm trying to help somebody. That's why I like that song. If I can help somebody as I travel along, if I can cheer somebody with a word, but I know that we, as a people, that we can celebrate all the challenges and think rewards and things we've accomplished, but we have a long way to go. And the reason why I know we got a long way to go, that over a long time ago, the Chronicles there said, in my people, amen, we God's people, and because we're God's people, if we want to get some change in our society, if we want to get some change in our homes with our children, if we want to get some change in our churches, then we're going to have to go back to the source, and the source is my people. Oh, but you got to know you belong to God. You got to know that you are God's people. And because you're God's people, you know, I can go to my source. I can't find it at the White House. I can't find it in the Senate. I can't find it in the legislature. I got to go back to the house. Where I first met the Lord. I got to go and have a little talk with Jesus. I got to tell him all about my trouble. I got to tell him that there's a wayward boy out here that's shooting people are dead. I got to tell him that there's a girl that's getting pregnant out of wedlock. I got to tell him that there's same sex and same gender marriage going on in Washington. I got to tell him that God, you got to do this. Because your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then we'll hear from heaven. I'm listening to hear God's voice. God is calling us to greatness, saying you need to get out of your mediocrity and move toward greatness. That is a story told of Abraham Lincoln. On Wednesday nights, he would sneak out of the hospital, White House, and he'd go down to the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, and he would sneak into the pastor's study, and he'd listen And the pastor knew he didn't want to interfere, so he'd leave his door open. He'd go in there and he'd listen to the pastor preach. But on this occasion, as they were headed back to the White House, the question when his workers asked him, said, "Do you think it was a great sermon?" He said, "Well," he said, "he was well prepared. It was a good message. It was eloquent." He said, "But do you think it was a great sermon?" He said, "No." He said, "Mr. President, you just said he was well prepared. He did a good message. So why wasn't it a great sermon?" He said, "It was a great, wasn't a great sermon because he didn't challenge us to move beyond where we're comfortable." Oh, y'all didn't hear me. And I think the church's greatest sin is complacency. We've satisfied where we are. Us has got a nice church. Us has got a good choir. Us has got a nice preacher. Us is doing all right. And drive by people that are hungry. We drive by people that are hurting. We stay next door to two people whose children are going to hell in a handbasket, and we won't say anything to them. Complacency. It's time for 2015 for us to move on this Black History Month, to move out of our complacency and stand for right and righteousness. I was asked the other day, they said, "Pastor, you said you went to the city council and you spoke. One of the councilmen said I was a bully." So I just told him, I said, because when I told him, I said, "Y'all know I'm a preacher. So if I have to preach to you a little bit, but I'm going to stay within my 3 minutes." And so I just challenged them to give the same rights to the people on this side of the desk that they have on that side of the desk. They have paid sick leave. Why don't they want to give paid sick leave to workers? Amen. We just need to move beyond complacency. We got the greatest source of power in the world. But we walk around limping. We got healing in our grasp, and we walk around hurting. Hallelujah. We got deliverance, and we walk around bound. So the church has to break that yoke and remember where your source lies. If my people, amen, it's my people. Hallelujah. That's what the word says. My people who are called by my name. Amen. All you got to do is be called. What name is that? It's not Buddha. It's not Mohammed. It's called by the name of Jesus. Jesus. Y'all know Jesus. Jesus. Mary Faith. Y'all know Jesus. They drug him through Judgment Hall and Judgment Hall. Y'all know Jesus. Jesus who hung and bled on the cross. Y'all know Jesus. But he and like the other God didn't stay dead, but early. Early. Sunday morning, he got up, not with me, but he said, "I have all power." The blood of Jesus. Yeah? Can y'all do that? My daughter gets upset when I do that, but sometimes I just, can y'all do the blood still works? I know y'all got some plan, but I just want somebody here to know, no matter what you're going through, if you get to be a Jesus people, if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, the same blood that was shed on Calvary is still working today. It's still healing today. It's still delivering today. It's still grinding up your
today. It's still mending a home. It's still bringing children off the street back home. The blood.
Let us move. Amen. Come on, y'all. Come on. The blood. We extend to you the opportunity to surrender your heart, to come and be a part of the fellowship of Eastside, of the greater fellowship with Christ Jesus. Will you come this morning as a choir singer?
Hey, go down there. Nice.
Amen. Amen. Extend to you the invitation to discipleship.